Hey guys, I'm actually talking with you on a new computer right now.
You got an IBM something or other?
No, I've gotten my first Apple computer in over a decade. I used to be a big time Apple user, and one of the main things that was the big selling point was that they couldn't be hacked, or at least they weren't as vulnerable as PCs.
Yeah, that's not true though.
Well, back in the day, Apple used to be regarded as a lot more secure because the fact it was supposed to be thought of as almost unhackable. A big part of that was because the fact they had a lot smaller market share. There were only 2% of the computers on the market. 98% of the people were using using Windows computers. So that just meant that if you wanted to really hack into someone, that was a lot bigger of a target.
So what brought you home?
Ease of use. It's a nice little laptop and everything like that. It definitely looks a lot cleaner and everything. And, I definitely think it plays a lot more nicely with an iPhone. But the main thing I've been finding, too, though, is that luster has faded about it being more secure these days.
Well, yeah, because there's so many people who are on Apple now that they're just as big a target, if not bigger, than PC users.
Exactly. And the difference there is that if you have an Apple computer, chances are you also have, say, an Apple Watch, an Apple phone. And so you have a full range of things that can be hacked. Whereas the average Windows user, let's face it, they're not using a Windows phone. I don't even know if they make Windows phones anymore.
So you've chugged the Apple Kool-Aid.
Exactly. I'm hoping not to end up like Snow White here, but yeah.
But, speaking about Snow White and curses and witches and bad people, Apple had a problem a little while ago, didn't they?
Yeah, there was they've had a line of or a long string of emergency patches of late. They've found several really high profile vulnerabilities, but the most recent one was called a zero click vulnerability.
Now, what's that?
Usually, if you get, say, any kind of email thing, if you get a phishing email with a suspicious attachment on it, you need to click on it. You need to open it up, or you need to install it, or it
takes. Well, I thought you weren't supposed to click on it, or
right, and
you need to get infected. You mean?
Exactly.
Correct. Got you.
Yeah. So a lot of these things, the most common malware out there, requires some sort of action on the target's behalf
to work.
Exactly. So you'll see something saying like urgent, click here, or here's your invoice, or anything at all like that. A zero click exploit is something that requires no action on the part of the target.
So it's made for Jason Bourne, not me. This sounds just like Apple back in the day. I don't need to worry.
Right. Sort of. It's actually been linked to the Pegasus spyware, which is a very, very controversial program. Yeah.
And the folks who developed this, the Pegasus software, what was it?
The NSO Group, they're called. It's a cybersecurity and tech company operating out of Israel.
And as I understand it, they say that they have a, quote, code of ethics relative to the countries they work for, because apparently they're very country-oriented. However, some questions have been raised about how strict that code of ethics really is, since there are some questionable regimes that they've been working for, right?
Yeah, exactly. There was a leak recently in the last several months that showed 50,000 people have been targeted by the Pegasus spyware. And that includes journalists, some heads of state, diplomats, human rights advocates and the like.
This is countries using this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. How does this affect Adam or me or you?
It's debatable. It depends on what kind of line of work you're in. I think one of the main things about it is it shows the sophistication and the availability of a vulnerability here. They were able to create a type of malware that could be sent to anyone that could receive an iMessage. So it's less about whether or not you're being targeted. I don't think Apple would have scrambled that quickly to release a patch if there wasn't any general danger to folks. But the type of access this malware has, it can access and turn on your phone. It can intercept communications, including encrypted communications being sent through Signal. So
it can even use your phone when you're not using it.
That's right.
And so the thing that I was thinking, Adam, is that this exploit is like other exploits we've seen that started as an NSA or NSO program, but then got leaked. And then people who are even less trustworthy than the people who we may not trust in government agencies have access to them.
Well, not only that, but we've learned that anytime you have anything that creates a backdoor, and it is created for, let's say, governmental use, sometimes yeah. tends to fall into the wrong hands because those government agencies have been hacked. In this case, you don't really know what it's doing, where it's doing, and who's behind it all. So yeah. it can be pretty scary.
And those government agencies may be doing business with people in trading, horse trading. You know, we have no idea how people are getting this
stuff.
In other
words, if you get me this intelligence, you know, I'll give you a little access to this. I mean, unfortunately, it's done all the time. But anyway, Travis, big question. Is it fixed now?
It's supposed to be fixed now. So the most recent iOS update, which again, Apple scrambled to get this out the door. And they urged everyone with any device that has anything resembling a piece of fruit on it to update. But I think from a tech point of view, the thing that's most interesting and perhaps most frightening here is that Apple had already announced that they had fixed this with recent versions of their operating system. They developed something called Blastdoor, which, again, that sounds like it's supposed to be super secure. It didn't take too long for NSO Group to find a way around it. And if they could do that, that's just this is just an example of them getting discovered. We have no idea how many similar things there could be out there.
Okay, so we go from the extremely high tech to the fact that most of us, when we're hacked, it's so low tech. It's so just dangle the lure in front of me and see if I bite.
Right.
And that is something that happened to our next guest.
I'm Adam Levin, former director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs, founder of Cyber Scout, author of Swiped, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves.
I'm Bo Friedlander, a person who is often lurking in the background trying to get hacked.
I'm Travis Taylor, resident tech guy and often lurking behind Bo trying to hack him.
Adam!
Bo!
I want you to meet my friend Ivana.
Hi.
And I'm going to try to say your last name because I think, Ooh. Ivana, I've always just known you as Ivana, but you're Milicevic, are you not?
You nailed it.
That's because my nickname is Maimon, Maimon Chinon.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
And you know that means monkey.
Monkey.
Yeah. So, Adam, Ivana is a friend of mine, and I would like to introduce her to you. She is an actress. She is a mom. She is a person who lives in Ireland. She's amazing. And she got hacked.
Yeah.
And Ivana, I have two words for you. Bond and Banshee.
Yes. Yes.
Why do you have those words?
Yeah. Because Ivana is a famous actress, and it's really exciting to have a celebrity. For years, our biggest celebrity was Bo, and now we have a bigger celebrity, and I'm very excited about that.
Thanks, guys.
You're famous to me just as, Ivana. But it's nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
It's really not nice to have you here because you're not here for an awesome reason, but before we get into that, Adam, I'm sure you have some questions for Ivana.
I do. So
tell me.
You're living in Dublin now, rumor has it?
Well, I am because I fell in love with an Irishman. And then we had been living long distance between Los Angeles, Vancouver, Croatia, like everywhere where I was working. Since we were together and then I got pregnant, was working, and 2 years of my son's life, we were traveling like that. So then 2020 was going to be the year I spent in Ireland supporting him. And then COVID happened, and then I really liked Ireland, and here I am still. I mean, I still have a place in LA, but I am mostly here. It's a great place to raise kids.
What was Patty doing? Now, your husband's Patty. What was he doing? What were you supporting him doing?
He has an incredible restaurant here called Nut Butter. And it's very California inspired, although I've never been to anything like it anywhere else. It is like healthy food, but flavors like you've never had before. I'm a pizza and burger girl, and I love this food.
What kind of food is it?
It would be like, it's like a mix of all these different things. So like, it's flexitarian. So people who are completely vegan can go eat with meat eaters and be super healthy. So it's not like fake meats. There's like beautiful Irish brisket tacos, say, but then you can also have jackfruit tacos. So it's not like jackfruit is turned into a burger patty. It's just jackfruit seasoned in a way that makes you feel like it might be pulled pork.
All right. Well, Bo and I will be calling a little later to get a reservation.
You are more than welcome.
No, I really want to go.
It's not really far from New York.
No, it's only like 5 hours away, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So as an actor, actress, I would love to know, because I'm a movie fanatic. Two-part question. Question number one, what's your favorite movie ever? And question number two is, what is your favorite movie that you were in?
Okay. Favorite movie ever, if I can only pick one. I mean, a top three would be easier. I'm going to say 2001, A Space Odyssey. Because at least
Do three. Come on. Do three.
Okay. 2001, Space Odyssey. I love Amadeus.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And it should be five, but and then let's say, I really love Shawshank Redemption too.
What is your favorite movie that you've appeared in?
I'm going to say it's not a movie. I think that my favorite thing I've done to date is probably Banshee, even though I know it's not a movie. And if you said movie, I would probably not give you what you wanted, because it would be Head Over Heels, which is this like girly chick flick, but it was just so much fun. It was my first kind of time getting to be a comedian, which is my first love, really. Now I'm this like dramatic badass, which is weird. And then Banshee, because I really gave it absolutely everything I had. Mind, body, spirit, sweat, tears, bruises, nudity. I mean, I everything was there. So that was really special.
Did you enter into it, Ivana, as a person who knew how to do all that fighting?
I knew I was going to take to it, put it that way.
Okay.
Do you know, like, I wasn't a fighter, but I knew I could move and I knew I could pick up choreography. And even the way the fights are structured, I don't know how much of it you've seen or not, because I know I'm in it a lot. But it's still structured. The fights are choreographed in a way that I look really good. In other words, I'm excellent with my hands. You don't see me doing crazy kicks because my feet are a mess. But I'm really powerful in my upper body and with my legs as a base.
We are all huggers. We are not hugging at the moment. And none of us are naked at the moment. So therefore,
I've never been in a fist fight my entire life. True story.
Almost, though. I remember that time. But anyway.
I was just hoping you'd mention Red Alert 3, personally.
Red Alert 3. Command and conquer.
Yeah, exactly.
Travis was, when I asked Travis what his favorite thing that you were in about that, he was like, yeah, Red Alert.
Yep. That's awesome. Wait, do you remember my character's name? I remember how she sounded.
Yeah, I remember the voice. I don't remember the name exactly. But yeah. Between that and Castlevania, that's sort of the geek creds. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I love that I'm part of these geeky things.
Yeah.
This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric e-bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every electric e-bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the electric e-bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance electric e-bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with Electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Heck with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's electricebikes.com. I just got back from France, and there was a lot of stuff I couldn't stream because I was in the wrong region. But using NordVPN, I was able to stream everything.
I use NordVPN too, but it's more to protect my private data, like bank details, passwords, and online identity. There are a million trackers online that are just sort of watching you. And NordVPN is a great way to get around those.
NordVPN can switch your virtual location, allowing you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price.
If you're traveling and you're using public Wi-Fi, NordVPN can protect you wherever you are.
It's not just that. NordVPN also comes with threat protection, which helps protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites.
NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and it'll only set you back the price of a cup of coffee a month.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/WTHack.
And hey, there's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Check the link in the podcast description.
So what brings you to us today?
Oh, I'll tell you, I got fished like a bitch one Tuesday morning on my Instagram, like early morning. To be fair, I was doing the Master Cleanse, so it was a little bit loopy to begin with. It was early in Ireland, which means it was late in Los Angeles, even later in New York, but it would have been similar time, like 6:37 in Europe. And I got a, you know, I was just going through my Instagram messages in the morning like you do. And I get a message talking about like looking real official in my Instagram inbox from Instagram something, Instagram support, talking about how I violated some copyright, which as an actor and a model, like you'd never want to do, like to think that I, you know, maybe use somebody's images. So I looked in and I, you know, not only did I try to give them what they wanted immediately, because they're like, to appeal this, click here. But I immediately was like, let me appeal this immediately. Let me handle this real quick before I even get out of bed. And the, and I don't know if the damage was done the moment I clicked on it or when I was trying to give them my password. Because I forgot. I know that it would never be in app. I was just groggy. I know not to give my stuff. But that's...
Well, let's start by attributing it. Let's start by attributing it to the cleanse. That really did it. That got you not as focused as you should have been. And so therefore, and again, one of the things that Bo and I have always talked about with Travis is that hackers and scammers always rely on the fact that someone is going to be distracted and they're going to dump something on them that is going to demand almost an immediate response if they're a responsible person. And as a result, you basically took the bait. You took the bait. So, okay. Yeah. So you gave them your user ID and password.
I don't know. You guys tell me. I still don't know if it happened the moment I clicked on the link.
No.
Because I don't know that I remember. Because remember one time I couldn't remember my username and password. And I actually wrote to whatever it was saying, I'm having trouble remembering my username and password, because, you know, it's all in my devices. It's not like I'm logging in and out all the time.
Right.
So I remember even asking them to help me, which they didn't. I must have done it correctly at some point. You're right. And then I immediately, like the moment I was like, ah, what have I done? And I immediately changed all my passwords, but I think it was too late.
That would make a good cybersecurity t-shirt. I must have done it correctly at some point. but the... Travis,
that's only funny to you guys because you even know what that means.
Well, but it's also funny because in your case, we'll get into it, but there's some humor here. Thank God.
Oh, yes.
But Travis, did it happen when she clicked or did it happen when she provided her password?
I'd say with about 99.9% certainty it was when you provided your password.
Yeah,
that's
sorry.
I mean, there could have been some sort of like high level malware or something like that that you can download when you click on a link. But if you gave your password, that was almost certainly it.
I just was never certain that I gave them my actual password. This is the only reason why I'm confused. Otherwise, I would not be trying to cover myself by being, you know.
Well, did it take you to any sort of a prompt to enter your password, for instance?
It did. But I entered it incorrectly.
Oh, okay.
And it wouldn't let me fix it.
Okay.
That's figured out.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the part. That's the hack part that happened to you.
I had only just found out because, again, I'm not on there that much. You know, too much, but not that much. Like, people told me before I realized it, put it that way. My friends with my phone number texted me before I knew what was going on. In fact, you guys might have been my third call with already a solution. You know, whenever it was like, yo, babe, I think you got hacked. Don't worry, Bo knows a guy. So before I even knew what happened, somebody, which is my good luck, which I know everyone's not that lucky. And by the way, I got hacked through my friends. They were using my friend's profile to get to me. That's what they had parasited, or what would you even call that? Like, it was a different name, but it was through their account that they got to me.
Daisy chaining.
Yep. Daisy chaining. Travis, so you can, I know that you know this daisy hack chaining. Well, at this point. So daisy chaining, or how did her friends get to Ivana? How did that part work?
Well, the way that Instagram in particular works is that it's connected to your phone or your phone number. So if you get in, if you can compromise one account, that means you have all those other contacts, both by way of the phone, but also the Instagram account, so that then you can reach out just by way of a DM to other people and then give them links and so on. It also helps them to identify, even if they're going to be claiming to be operating on behalf of Instagram tech support, they now know your account name and account and your account info, just because of the fact that if they're in one account, they can see some of the information for all their connections on there. That includes primarily phone numbers. That's a big one.
You know, the general advice we also give to people, and it's really true, is that oftentimes one person is not the actual target. It's someone else, someone they know, but they use familiarity in order to get in and then get to that other person.
Are you saying that when they got into my account, they could get into my actual physical phone to know the numbers? Because that's what I was afraid of. That's what you're like waiting for. Or you're saying because on Instagram, some people have their phone numbers up there.
Not as such. When you sign into Instagram, it gives you an option to sync your contacts. In other words, to let you know other people who are on your phone, what their accounts are on Instagram.
Okay.
And so when you do that,
but they don't necessarily know their numbers to then call.
Yeah.
My celebrity friends or whatever.
No, but it is why you got targeted. And there is a, it's a more mechanical hack. Mm. Once they have control of your account, they can send out messages from your account.
But they weren't sending it as me.
So Guinevere did get a message
from
saying,
me.
Yeah, saying you have done a copyright infringement, I think.
But it was me. But the one I got was, it didn't look like, when you go deeper, you're like, why is that coming from Ivana's account? But it's not our name. It's not my name on top. At least the one I got. I don't know what Guinevere got.
So she got one right after we saw that your account was hacked. Mm-hmm. She got one saying your account has, committed the whatever, right? And she said, is this a hack? And I said, yeah, 100%. And that was the end of it. So that's how I know that no click was the cause, but the handing over the information was. But this scam in particular was something that it's an API-based scam. Mm-hmm. The API lets the Instagram and a third party know that they are connected. And Instagram uses that to pass information back and forth. Now, some people control their social accounts through other websites that you can do Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all at the same time. HuluSuite is one of them. What is it called again? TweetSuite.
Hootsuite.
Blah, blah. Yeah. At any rate, Instagram communicates with Hootsuite through an API. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, this hack worked by having the API connecting to a Hootsuite-like service. Gave the hackers an opportunity to then change Ivana's login information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the phone number and the email address on the account.
And where they were located. I didn't understand why, one, they let everyone know I was hacked by, putting all those pictures up.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. It just didn't seem...
That was to make you scared and make you cough up some money.
Which they never asked for.
Which is weird. And what's weirder yet, Adam...
Yes?
They were in Turkey, and yes. Instagram was not able to just go, duh, gada, gada, gada.
That's
why is she in Turkey
issue.
And Ireland? Yeah.
No, not only that. Here's the thing. I am a user that's based in Los Angeles. When I set up my account, I was in Los Angeles. Okay. I live in Ireland. Do you think I went to Instagram and was like, well, they ought to know that now I'm based in Ireland. Who cares? I still go back and forth.
But
so when this all happened, they can know all they want. My point is when all of a sudden I'm changing my info to Turkey, that they weren't like, this is weird. Let's freeze it. My biggest issue with all of this is that there's like, I was lucky I had you. You hooked me up with Andre and Lifars. How about the people who need their 1,000 followers for their small business? They can't, they have no recourse. It's not like there's a number to call on these, on Instagram or Facebook or any of these places. It drives me crazy.
I hear you. But Adam, I would like you to just take this opportunity to explain who Andre is.
Andre is a forensic expert. He really is a superstar when it comes to cybersecurity. He's you know, one of the guys you read about that you don't necessarily see. He's an ethical hacker, and he runs a company that specializes in basically helping highly placed individuals, companies. They're there for all that. We have horror story after horror story after horror story about people desperately trying to contact these massive platforms and ending up with nothing but crickets. They just don't get a response. These platforms are not tracking as well as they should. I mean, Travis, we've seen situations where, you know, you'll log into something and it will go unfamiliar device. So then they send a code and everything else. And it should have, coming from Turkey, should have been considered unfamiliar, correct?
It did. I did get an email that I didn't see.
You did got one about it.
Yeah, but look how quickly it all happened, though. Like,
so fast.
Like they gave me very little time to see it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, again, I'm not sitting at a desk all day seeing my emails come up.
No, and they are. And that is the difference. So you're not looking at your emails every 10 seconds, but the hackers are relying on the fact that they can go faster than you can in terms of authentication and reconfirming their account. Let's back up. So you wake up in the morning and you are told that you're a criminal and you're like, but I don't want to be a criminal, especially not that kind of criminal, because that's how I make a living. So you go, okay, well, I'll do something about this. You're
the thing
that you immediately do is that you provide your password to whoever's
Instagram, who already has it, of course. But
fair enough. So you give it to Instagram. Now, what are you thinking then? Do you go back to bed?
No, I immediately change my passwords, or so I thought.
And then what?
Then I went about my day. I thought I'd change it. I even said to my husband, I was like, oh, I think I almost got hacked.
It goes under the famous last words category.
I think so.
And then the next thing you got was calls from us and other friends?
Yeah, pretty much. Later that day, I think. Oh, and I started to get WhatsApp messages from the guy in Turkey. And he was like, hi, I'm so sorry. I have your account, but I want to give it back to you. Please, I'm so sorry. Here's the password for your account so you can get it back. So I don't know. Now, I don't know if he was seeing what I was going to do. Like, if I log into that, then he can get into more stuff. Travis?
Well, I have a question.
Because he never asked for money.
Hmm? No.
I never responded either, though.
So he provided you with a link and a password?
He provided me with a link. It would have been good if I charged my phone so I can tell you exactly what he said. But he provided me with he's like, this is your username or whatever it was. And here's your, here's the password, which of course I didn't touch. Cause at that point I didn't trust anyone or anything.
He was trying to get deeper.
But he never asked for money. And he was like, I'm so sorry. These emojis, like, I'm so sorry. I want to give it back to you. But of course you can't even trust that.
Travis?
Yeah. It sounds like he was trying to give you more malware to get even deeper into your accounts.
Yeah.
The question that I have is you know, what are you thinking when you see that WhatsApp messages? Are you feeling like you're getting hacked further, or are you feeling like, oh,
yes,
maybe
now I don't trust anyone? And even when you hooked me up with Andre, I'm like, who's Andre? Like, what? Like, all of a sudden you feel like you're in the game that Michael Douglas
in the game.
Maybe, you know what I mean? All of a sudden you're like, I'm like, is this really Guinevere? Is this really Bo? Is this really anyone? Because because social media and computers, everything is made so that everyone can use them. Right. We don't know what we're doing. They're just simple clicks. I mean, it's no different than a light switch. So we're not computer experts in the slightest, even though we're using all of these really powerful devices that are capable of so much more than what we know what to do with them, including these social media platforms.
So now my second question on this WhatsApp part is, did that happen before or after I put you in touch with Andre?
I think it might have all been happening at around the same time because he told me to turn on my LA phone, if I remember correctly.
Andre did.
And because that's what was connected to it. And so then I started to do exactly what he said to do. And then then it all started to happen very quickly. So my LA phone came online finally. I charged it, turned it on. I started to get messages from the hackers. And I think Andre started to play dueling hacker piano with the hacker. And it eventually got to the point where one of them had the number and one of them had the email. So both were locked out. Like, I think Andre managed to secure my email or an email for the account. And the hacker still managed to secure the phone number or something.
And without
like that.
Naming the secret sauce, we also know that Andre had a lifeline where he called called the troops in to help him a little bit.
Yes, exactly. And but that didn't happen until I don't know actually at what point he started using them.
But I just wondered if the WhatsApp stuff started like because he kicked the hornet's nest.
I wonder, and also I know that if we're keeping it a secret, geez, so mysterious. His in that helped him with my account. What happened with that? He asked me, I don't know how to say this with that. He asked me if it was okay if we wanted to go after them because he said that if the hacker asked for money, then it elevates the crime.
Yeah. So the person that Andre, since we can't really clarify beyond what we're talking about here, who Andre pulled his car up to another car, sort of,
and asked, "Do you have any
under a bridge coupon somewhere?" And they opened their windows, and he said, "Yo,
do you have any great coupon?
Yeah, you have any great coupon?"
I love that you get that.
And it really was incredibly kind of President Putin to intervene on your behalf. You know,
yeah, so it really was. But he's always had a crush on me, so
well, that's true.
He loves Banshee.
So Bo and Adam, you guys know I'm a bit of a privacy geek, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, totally. I really just don't like the idea that just about anyone can find you online, can find out where you live or your email address or your phone number or anything. I just think that entire idea is super creepy.
There's so much of my data already out there, but is there something that you can do?
Yeah, actually, you can use Delete Me. Delete Me is a service that pretty much does the heavy lifting for you, where they go to all the data brokers that they have on file. And just pull your data and delete it on a regular basis.
I use it, I like it, and they make it quick, easy, and safe to remove your personal data online.
Well, yeah, with these data brokers, they can accumulate huge amounts of your personally identifiable information. And if all that information gets into the hands of a bad actor, that opens you up to a lot of risk.
And if you act now, you can get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and use promo code WTH. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and enter promo code WTH at checkout.
That's joindeleteme.com/WTH, promo code WTH, which stands for What the Hack. And we thank you for supporting Delete Me and What the Hack.
So Andre called his mystery person and did that solve your issue? Are we saying that like basically you got saved by
a mystery person?
It took the mystery person to finally get my account all the way frozen until we could solve the rest. Wow. And then I think.
And what is frozen? What does that mean when they freeze your account?
It meant that no one can get into it. Not me, not them, not anyone until I start, you know, through, again, avenues, not directly dealing with Instagram to reset it. I needed to like promise I would do double factor authentication. I had to promise I would get a whole new email for it. I had to promise that I would use that I would use. What was like? It's what
two factor authentication.
Good cyber hygiene.
Nice.
But not just that, but also like what are they called? Those authenticators.
Yeah,
the authenticator app.
I got one, but I'd like to use it for everything, but I don't know how. It's hard. It's for you guys. Like
it's really not very intuitive. Authenticator
it's
apps.
Not.
I think they have a ways to go before they replace just basic two-factor authentication.
Yeah, and then I have those little. I copied some little codes to have as well. That's somewhere in my photos and how, but I have them. They're in there somewhere.
So you froze your account and that's like, basically it sounds like a digital timeout for, you know, there was a fight in the playground and they're like, everybody, you got to sit down and just chill. So then they figured out that you were you and you could have your account back. But then they said, but only if you do all these things and all the things that probably we preach here, minus the authenticator, because I don't use one, but I can't believe I just said that. I guess I'm going to download it tonight. And that is the part that Adam was talking about in the beginning, which is hackers assume there's going to be a moment when you're tired, when you're doing a juice cleanse, when you've got a baby, when you just got back from a trip, when, all these things that happen to us all the time, because they're sitting there like your friend who answers a text immediately. You know, when you go, hi, how you doing? Fine. they're there. We're like, why didn't you say hi? And that's the problem is like, we're not, like, I'm just trying to have a life and brush my teeth. And by the time I got to the second side, I'm hacked.
The thing you have to remember all the time is we all have day jobs, whatever those day jobs may be, from raising a family, working for somebody, running a business, being involved in philanthropic activities, going to school. Whereas for these guys, we are their day job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they are sitting there.
Good point.
And they will text you immediately.
All right, Travis, I'm going to let Ivana do your job. Ivana, what is the list of things that you are now doing as a responsible person who's no longer going to get hacked?
Well, one, I'm learning more because I don't have everything figured out yet. Like I said, I have two-factor authentication. Obviously, I've changed all my passwords. I'm trying to use those crazy alphabet, number, symbol, googly eye, emoji passwords that you can't remember.
Yep.
I have the authenticator, but I really don't know how to use that all the way, but I have it on my Instagram. I have saved those codes, how they give you, you know, you can get four-digit codes.
They're like
the
get-out-of-jail-free cards. Yeah.
Get-out-of-jail-free cards. I have those for a couple, and I have them somewhere secret places.
Which all of those were lies if you're listening to Hack Ivana. Though she doesn't have them written down. She has
them tattooed. I'm letting you down a wild goose chase, guys.
No, but you should consider, and we'll continue, you should consider getting a password manager. It'll make your life a lot simpler.
Writing that down.
But no, but Travis, hold on. Password. We've just recently on adamlevin.com, I think you wrote the article, Travis, about three-word passwords. So just like if people don't want to use a password manager, can you explain why a three-word password might be a good move?
Sure. One thing that helps with password security is overall length. In other words, something that's 25 to 30 characters long is going to be would take a longer time to hack or breach than something that's 8 to 10 characters long. And so rather than having something along the lines of like @ lowercase k exclamation point uppercase s, et cetera, the recommendation, this came from the United Kingdom's cybersecurity sort of agency, is to string together three random words. And then if you want to, you can add a number or a letter to it. But three random words is about as hard, if not harder, for a hacker to guess as a bunch of random characters.
Really?
So if you were to just say floor lamp, wall clock, recliner, that is a very, very, very long password. That would take a very long time to be able to crack. Whereas something, even if it's completely and utterly random characters, if it's a mix of numbers, letters, you know, alphanumerics, anything like that, that can still be cracked by a brute force attack if it's shorter.
So it's a brute force attack.
A brute force attack is pretty much where you have a machine or a program that goes through and tests out A. Then B, and then like
that's just how I learned how to talk.
Exactly. Yeah. They
computers can do it quickly. Programs can
right.
Do it
yeah.
Fast.
They can just throw like a million passwords just to see which one works.
I don't understand then why words wouldn't be easier to hack than random. Do you know? Because like once they start to get like unicorns.
A single word. A single word is really easy to guess. That's called a dictionary attack. Where there are programs out there that have just the entire English language dictionary, and they're to try, they'd start with aardvark instead of A, and then work all the way down to, I don't know, zygote or something like that.
Goodness.
But if you're to think about the sheer number of words that would be in a dictionary, for instance, and then if you're to take a second word and append it onto that, then that is exponentially more things that would need to be guessed. Then if you're to do three words, that's even more. Mm. So that's hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of possible combinations that even if you're using a dictionary, it would still take an extraordinarily long amount of time.
You have to put them together.
Oh, you're right. Hurting my brain. But don't use unicorn. You know why? Because I know you like unicorns.
Who doesn't?
So I don't. They freak me out with the horn.
And don't use a series of numbers that simply go up or go down
right.
in order.
But just don't let it be guessable. It can't be something that we know that you'll pick.
Right. And I think that's one of the other things to keep in mind, too, is that with password guessing algorithms are things out there that if you were to say, go Mets one, go Yankees one, go Rangers one, probably at some point one of these little programs would be able to say, go Giants. Or
then I think I have to change all my – hold on for a second. I have to get rid of the Yankee things.
We'll wait. So the main thing, though, is the three-word system is a good one because of the fact that it's really long. It can't be very easily guessed, especially not by an algorithm or a sort of dictionary or brute force attack. And it's a lot easier to remember. I would remember floor, lamp, recliner, wall clock a lot more easily than I'd remember, underscore. Z, pound sign. Yeah, that's just that's gibberish where you
and
can.
And it's really one word for those.
Right.
Brute force actors.
Right.
AIs, right? It's that's one word that they're like, they'll get there eventually. It doesn't matter to them if you're spelling aardvark or.
Right. And the standard caveat, though, is that you could choose the longest password in the history of the world. It could be completely unguessable if you use it on every single account. And it only needs to get breached once.
Right.
It's kind of like the difference between an indecipherable password and a discovered password.
Exactly.
That might be indecipherable. But anyway, listen, this has been awesome. And heaven knows we could go on for hours.
Hours.
But we're going to have to call it to a close now. So from all of us to one of you, thank you so much for being part of this today. You were great.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ivana.
Thank you for having me.
What the Hack is a Loudtree Media production in partnership with Large Media. That's LARJ Media. You can find What the Hack wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow us on social media and find additional information at adamlevin.com.